Okay. Moving on to the announcements. Some updates to the announcements that are in the bulletin. The Spanish service is going to happen this afternoon. It will happen this afternoon. Okay, so that's as it is in the bulletin. You'll notice that the ladies' Bible study scheduled for Monday at 9 o'clock is postponed until the first part of the year. The sewing and craft class at 10 a.m. on Monday is also postponed for tomorrow. So that's sort of kind of a week-to-week thing. The adult Bible study class, 6:30 on Wednesday night. We'll be meeting this week. We'll reconvene this week at 6:30. Also, the teen and the kid zone classes will reconvene this week at 6:30. Decorating the greens, decorating the church, hanging of the greens. That has been changed to 5 p.m. today instead of 2 p.m. today. I have it on authority that it was supposed to be 5. And it's now been changed back to 5. We don't know who changed it to 2. They may be out of town or something now. So we're going to change. We're going to make it 5 this evening. Okay. The ladies' cookie and ornament exchange, that's scheduled for December the 14th. That's a Saturday, 6 p.m. That'll be here at the church. The men's fellowship dinner, that'll be on Tuesday, December the 10th, 6 p.m., and that's at Big Cat's Pizza. I've also been asked to announce, and I wish I'd had this one prior to our greeting each other this morning, that today is Preston's birthday. So happy birthday, Preston. I don't know how many this makes it, but you look like an old man to me. So happy birthday, Preston. Any other announcements? Any other updates on the announcements that that I need or that we need to be aware of? Okay. On the prayer list, then. I have one praise item for sure, that Ralph Gillenwater is back with us after his surgery this week, on the mend and getting better and with good things happening there. And a mixed message. I've been asked this morning to add the Lunsford family to our prayer list. Jamie Lunsford, that is a young lady who was in a car wreck this last week. Flipped her truck, life flighted to the med in Memphis. But her injuries are not as bad as they originally thought they were. So there's, you know, prayer for her to recover, praise that they're not as bad as they were, and prayers for the families so that they can get through this ordeal and take care of her during this time of her healing. Any other additions or changes or modifications, updates on the prayer list that I've missed this morning? Yes. Where? That's Jeff Price. Okay. And that was brain surgery for him and a return of cancer. Okay. So he's they did what they could do, and he's healing now from that. And he's home already. Wow. Okay. Anything else? Any other updates? Yes. Okay. So prayers for Sylvia for a new job, and if no new job materializes, prayers for Lynn. To have somebody help her. Give me help. Anything else? Anyone else? Okay, as is our practice then, if you'd take a look at the prayer list this morning and select a name or names, or if you have someone on your heart that you didn't mention this morning, we're going to give you a chance for a moment of silent prayer before I open the services for prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for seeing us through this week. It's been a wonderful week to see family, to be with friends, to enjoy meals and fellowship. Father, we thank you for all of that. We thank you for the answered prayer that we've had for the successful surgery that Ralph has had, and that we know that you'll be with him during this time of healing that he'll be undergoing. We ask you to be with the Lunsford family as Jamie Lunsford has been in a car accident, and we thank you for her condition being better than what they originally thought. We still ask for healing for her and for comfort and strength for the family. Father, we ask you to join us this morning as we worship your name, as we sing your praises, Father. And we welcome you in our midst. All this, Lord, we ask and say in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I think these steps get taller every time we do this. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We do have a couple visitors here today, so we'll let you know that we take communion each Sunday here at Lexington Christian Church. The table set before you is God's church, God's table. It's not LCC's table. And everybody is welcome to participate in this, and we will have some folks pass it out here after our little meditation message. Today marks the beginning of Advent. Did you know that traditionally, some churches decorate the church for Christmas by hanging of the greens on the first day of Advent? Some hang Advent calendars and wreaths. And I'm going to pause right there a second because my wife got a Facebook memory today of an Advent calendar that was really neat. It's called a kindness calendar that each day, starting today all the way to Christmas, once a day, you try to do an act of kindness to somebody. Maybe pay it forward, let them in line, let them out in the street, things like that. So I thought that was unique and something that would be good to keep in mind as we go into our Christmas season. Also, hope all of you will come back this afternoon at 5 o'clock to participate in the hanging of the greens and helping decorate our church here for Christmas. The word Advent is Latin, meaning coming. In many Christian churches, Advent is described as a time of expected waiting and preparation for the three comings of Christ. The first being the celebration of his coming in the flesh, as we celebrate his birth at Christmas. The second, our observance of him coming to live in our hearts. And the third is the return of Jesus after his ascension to heaven. This coming is the fulfillment of his promise to come back and return for us. But until that time, God's word instructs us to watch, wait, and prepare for his final coming. As we take communion this morning, the first day of Advent, let us prepare our hearts for this Christmas season. 1 Peter 1:13 tells us, "So then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, the greater measure of grace will be released to you." If you would, please join me in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, help us to prepare ourselves, our hearts, and our minds, acknowledging you first during this Christmas season by keeping Christ in Christmas. We ask you to forgive our sins so that we may be found worthy to partake in this holy union. We ask you blessing on this communion as we remember the love that was shown to us and the price that was paid for our sins. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now it's time in our service that we have the opportunity to give back a portion of that in which the Lord has blessed us with. Time for our tithes and offerings. In tithing, folks, and offerings are two separate things. Tithing is 10% of what we make. It's what God asked us to give to support his ministry. Offerings are above and beyond that. Those are things that we can offer back to our Heavenly Father in our talents. Working, doing yard work, maintenance to the church, singing, hanging of the greens that we're going to do this evening. And, yes, monetary also, if we have extra money that we can turn into our service and into his ministry. In Malachi, the Lord says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. If you break this little passage down, the Lord asked you to bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. And he knows, as human beings, some of us, I have a problem doing that. Why else in the scripture would he say, test me in this? You know, as human beings, we seldomly would ever challenge our Lord. But he asked us to challenge him. He's going to prove what he says that he's going to do in this passage. If you will, let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, let us always be mindful of you, serving you first and trusting you that you will meet our needs. Please bless our offerings, that they may be pleasing to you, that they may further your kingdom here on earth. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord and good morning, everybody. Well, I like this, man. Somebody just walks up into the pulpit and children go to running everywhere. They know where they're supposed to be. It's always a good thing. But trust everybody had a good and pleasant week this past week. I know Gene and I were talking about it this morning, and we both had a largely pleasant week. We eat too much, and we're still trying to figure out what to do with some of them leftovers, but you know, you don't waste them. But anyway, we have made it through the Thanksgiving season. Today is December the 1st. They'll tell you real quick we've got 24 days till Christmas. But this is the time of the year now and the season that we should be thinking about year-round. But especially this time of year, we go to thinking about, well, for the fact that the angel came down to the shepherds and brought news of peace on earth, joy and love to all men, the coming of the Savior, the one that would eventually shed his blood and die so that we all could live. So before we get into the talking about the blood this morning, and might get run off, but we're going to lay it on you this morning with the blood. But let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful that we have this opportunity to come together in your house to worship and to serve you and to study your word, Lord, and learn of you and the ways that you would have us to live our lives so that someone might see the light of your love shining forth from us and desire to have that love. God, I ask you to be with us this morning as we try to bring forth your word in a positive manner. Ask you to bless each and every ear to hear and receive and accept your word. Bless every home that's represented here this morning, Father, and we'll give you thanks, praise, and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 19, verse 19. Says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 6 and 27 said, Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. He also said, if you don't love your neighbor whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? And you may be thinking now, what's that got to do with blood? Well, we're not talking about spiritual blood this morning. Of course, we know without the shedding of the lamb's blood, there was no remission of sins for the people in the Old Testament, and that Jesus Christ came and shed his blood so that all could have remission and forgiveness of sins. But we're going to talk about the natural blood this morning. So many times we hear that, if one child grows up and his father is smart and intelligent, and the child grows up to be smart and intelligent, everybody seems to say, well, it's in the blood. Nope. Blood ain't got nothing to do with it. We're all too quick to say that if a parent is evil and spiteful, and the child, you know, grows up in that house, the child grows up to be evil and spiteful, we're too quick to say, well, it's in the blood. Blood didn't have anything to do with it. It's in the heart, in the spirit. You see, blood is all the same. It's a red liquid. Now, Keith's looking at me funny out here. It's a chemical that flows through our body. We couldn't live without it because it carries oxygen and whatnot through our body and whatever, but basically it's just a chemical that keeps us alive. Everybody has it. I made reference here a while back during one of my communion meditations that and I tell you right now, I have studied this. I have pored over it and pored over it and pored over it, and I have came up with 2,019 pages of research. It's irrefutable. Some say it might be infallible. I don't know. But 2,019 pages. Of course, this is the year 2019, and this is when you're going to hear about it. But made reference here a while back about the blood and told you that I had 100% positive proof that Keith Dahl was blood kin to General Stonewall Jackson. I didn't tell Keith that the same research made that little gal that usually sits beside him every Sunday, not Tish, I'm going to leave you out of this. You'll get a kick out of it. But Miss Kathy is blood kin to another fella named William Tecumseh Sherman. Now, put them two together. And she's also kin to another fella, and y'all can figure out where this comes from. She's also kin to another fella named Mark Harmon. Then I have 100% positive proof of this. I also have proof that Gene is blood-related. Of course, he was in the Navy. I guess he was a good sailor. I don't know. I wasn't around then, but stands to reason he would be, considering the fact that he was blood kin to a fellow named Bill Halsey. That was, what, Admiral during the Second World War? Pacific Fleet and all this good stuff. Brother Carl over here, I guess he was a good sailor, considering he was is blood related to a fellow named Nimitz. You know, but the fact that Gene and Carl were probably pretty good sailors has absolutely nothing to do that they were blood related to Bill Halsey and Admiral Nimitz. They just done their jobs. through work, perseverance, training. And some of the other ladies in here, you know, it doesn't matter who we're related to. Because, and I'll save some more for later, but, you know, we've got one lady sitting over here pretty good at business. She can sell a house or two now and then. She can be a shrewd business dealer. And then when it comes down to it and she has to be in court, she can be sort of a tiger, I'm told. Which stands to reason, you know, she's got some pretty good blood in her family, too. Little lady named Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. You didn't know that, did you? Blood kin to Queen Elizabeth. I'm not going to say nothing else on that one. I'm going to wait a little. But anyway, you know, Miss Laura back here. Now, the rest of you ladies, I'm going to give this to her. The rest of you ladies, just don't worry, she can't get you no autographed pictures or anything like that from her two blood cousins, Brad Pitt and Jason Momoa. She can't do it. Blood kin. But it doesn't matter, because the blood has nothing to do with who we are as individuals. It's what's in our heart. And we're coming into the season now where we need to purify the hearts. I think that's part of what the first 24 days of Christmas are. For purification. Get rid of something every day. Do you get rid of all the impurities in your heart and your soul, then on Christmas Day, you can welcome your Savior with a pure heart of gladness. So, you know, we need to realize, and I heard quite a bit said along these lines this morning, you know, we always say that he's coming back any time. Don't know when he's coming back. People been saying he's coming back for 2,000 years. He's coming back when he wants to. But rather than to be worried about what's going on around us and what's going on in our towns, in our cities, and, you know, don't worry about who's who. It's time to worry about who's here. May not be many of us here this morning, but we're here. It wasn't because Mom and Daddy used to be here. It's because we want to be. It wasn't because our grandparents went to church probably every Sunday, and great-grandparents walked 5 miles to church and back uphill both ways, the best way I got it. But anyway, we don't do that because they did. We do it because we want to. It's not in the blood, it's in our heart. If it was in the blood, in the natural, I assure you, I would be a miserable man to be around. Now, these people that I have said that some of y'all are blood related to, the same goes for me. You see, there's one thing about the blood. You can't change it. Now, Keith, you got to take the bad with the good. Now, I'm not talking about Kathy either. But there's nothing we can do about it. This same research that proves without a doubt that Keith Dahl is related to Stonewall Jackson, the same research that puts Miss Linda in the same bloodline with Queen Elizabeth puts me in some pretty interesting bloodlines too. I've always been pretty proud of the fact that I'm predominantly Scottish, and my bloodline goes straight into the old Clan Wallace. But got to digging in my research a little bit deeper, and I've got some more interesting characters in my family back in the 1200s, 12 or 1300s, I believe it's 12. Little fella that wasn't too well thought of in those days by a lot of people because he was a prince that in his place of living they didn't have kings or whatever. You were like a prince. And he ruled his country with an iron hand. Little fella named Vlad Dracula. Not talking about the mythical vampire. I'm talking about the original Vlad the Impaler. That's where my blood come from. Came on down a few hundred years later, Keith. Found another little fella. He a little bitty fella, too. He was a Bible scholar. Studied the Bible cover to cover to see how he could run things. Didn't really pay attention to what he read because he wanted to run things different. This bloodline that I'm talking of, he was a little fella from Europe. His name was Adolf Hitler. Nothing I can do about it. I came on down a few years later, and in the same bloodline with a fella that we all talked pretty sassy about here a while back. Old boy named Osama bin Laden. There's nothing we can do about bloodline. We've got to have blood to live. It's what's in our heart. You see, some of you may be trying to talk. What are you talking about? These people, there's no way that I'm related to them. Well, I've got 2019 pages of infallible research that says different. It's called the Holy Bible. From the very first three words in the beginning to the last amen, it talks about blood. Folks, it started out with two, Adam and Eve. A few thousand years later, when the earth was populated and the people had began to get away from God, live their own lives, ungodly ways, then God said, I've had enough. So he thinned the population down from a whole earth full of people to eight. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives. That's all there was left. So look around this world at how many we've got now. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you came from, we're all blood kin. But don't let the natural blood even begin to rule who you are. I know Keith Dahl don't have the temperament that General Jackson had. I won't say that about Kathy and Sherman. At least not as long as she's here. She's in there, so I can get by with it. Tell Keith and Tish, tell her about the sermon later. But anyway, it's what's in our hearts. And about the research, Acts 17, 24 through 28, God that made the whole world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth life to all, or giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. One blood. We may not like it, but every person in here is kin to everybody else through natural blood. But during this Christmas season and the singers can come, as we come up on this Christmas season, let's not worry who's getting what. Or, unless, Jim, if you want to buy your mother-in-law a new Cadillac, it'd be all right. But it's not a time of giving and receiving unless you're giving the gifts of God and receiving God's blessings, receiving love and joy, peace and goodwill from your neighbor as you give to your neighbor. So as we go into this Christmas season, let us purpose in our heart to do what God would have us to do. Remember the old question that was asked for years and still goes around, what would Jesus do? Well, He'd do the right thing. We don't always do the right thing. We get to thinking about it in our hearts and minds, we'll mess it up. But if you'll let Jesus lead the way, it'll be done right. And this morning, if there's anything that you need to bring to the altar, we always offer this time, as we always will. The altar is always open, not just during the last song, but anytime God moves on you to come forward, whether it's me or Chip or anybody else, it might be right in the middle of the sermon. Come on, get it off your chest. Give it to God. During the first few songs, during the meditation, during the announcements, always obey the Lord. Hope we all learned something this morning. It's took me a long time to learn that. But we're all of one blood. Let's be of all of one heart and one mind going into this season. And not just into this season, let's carry it on over throughout the coming year. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we're thankful again, Lord, that we've had this opportunity to come together in your house to worship and serve you. God, again now we ask you to bless those that are here today that may not be feeling well, may just have aches and pains. God, we're all getting older and cool, damp weather doesn't work as well as it used to. But, Lord, you know that. You know that we believe that just your touch, your spoken word can wipe it all away. But I fervently ask you this morning, Lord, to wipe away all illness and sickness that is here among your house and your children. I ask you to be with us as we go from this place, Lord, to watch over us throughout the week, bring us back at the next appointed time, and let your will be done in each and every one of our hearts and guide us through this whole season. In Jesus' name, amen.